Let's stand. Let's go to the word of the Lord. I got something I want to teach to you tonight. And no better place than to teach what Jesus said. Hallelujah. I won't go over all the woes in Matthew 23 and that he told the Pharisees, but I give you a few of the woes, and I want to talk about a couple things out of there. He said, woe unto you. This is Matthew 23:16. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whosoever swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and of cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, ye strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Pretty straight talk there, isn't it? That's what I like about Jesus. He gets right to the point. He doesn't beat around the bush. I want to talk about what matters the most tonight. What matters the most? Pray with me tonight. Lord, I'm thankful for your blessings. I'm thankful, Lord, for an opportunity to hear your word. Lord, let it be fresh manna that falls from heaven for our ears tonight and our mouth, that we may taste of the good word of God. We ask that you be with us, Lord, and guide us as we talk about the things that matters the most in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I've been on a few guide trips before, and I've actually done some guiding myself, both in hunting, but mostly in fishing. And, the last thing I'd want is a blind guide. I mean, I'd be scared, wouldn't you? Would you like somebody to drive for you and be your chauffeur? I want a blind chauffeur. How many of you want a blind chauffeur? And it's not that I'm making fun of the blind. It's simply that they're not good at that. And so the scripture says the blind leadeth the blind, and they both wind up in the ditch. Isn't that what the scripture says? So if you follow a blind man and he's the chauffeur, you may be the passenger, but you're going to end up in the ditch along with him. Because if you're following him, you're sitting in the back seat and you're letting him drive. You say, oh, I'm blind. Oh, okay, that's fine. Well, you're going to go into the ditch. And so I can't think of much anything worse than following somebody who doesn't follow Christ. Right? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So if we have to be careful that you and I today, that we don't follow hypocritical people that say they can see, they have eyes and cannot see, they have ears and cannot hear, but they're really blind themselves. And you're following the wrong person. And Jesus said, as these blind guides, they don't understand what is the most important. And you said, you swear by the gold of the temple and not by the temple which sanctifies the gold. You swear by the gift and not the altar that justifies or sanctifies the gift. You swear by heaven rather than the one that sits on the throne in heaven and controls heaven. You've got it. You don't understand. It's not that the gift's bad. It's not that the gold's bad. It's not that heaven's bad. It's just that you don't give weight to the things that matter the most. Because if you gave weight here, then the gift would take care of itself. The temple would take care of itself. Heaven would operate right. If you just gave the allegiance, if you will, to the one that matters the most. Because it controls the rest of it. And so he says, woe unto you scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, you hypocrites, you puffed up, you act like you're something you're not. And he said, you pay tithes. Now listen close to me tonight. You pay tithing, he said, of a mint and of anise and of cumin. These are spices and ointments and things of that nature. And you have omitted the weightier matters, he said, of the law and of judgment, of mercy and of faith. Not that you should not do these things, but he said they should all be done, but you don't do the others. You omit what he's calling the weightier matters. Now, if you know anything about tithing, the word tithing means 10%, right? It's that's what it means. It means 10%. And he said this 10%, he said, so in order to pay the 10% of the anise or the cumin or the mint, you have to weigh it out. See, this is where he's going with this. This is the deeper part of the meaning of this. And so he said, in order to you to give it 10%, you had to weigh it. Right? And you say, I'm gonna give no more than I have to, you know. 9.9, whoa, stop right there. Okay, that's what the Lord gets, you know. And you're real good at that. You're real good at that. But the things that you can't weigh, judgment, the law, love, you're not good at that at all because it can't be weighed. You see, you've got a mentality that... It's got to be, if it's not there, then you do it my way. And he said, you're missing the whole thing here. And Jesus is telling them that you're good at weighing things out that can be measured, but the weightier matters, such as these other things that he mentioned, are the more important things, such as law and mercy and just judgment and faith. They cannot be divided. See, you can divide out the 10% and keep the 90, but you cannot divide out judgment. You cannot divide out faith. And you cannot, you know, he said, he that believeth with his whole heart, you either have faith or you don't have faith. You either live for God or you don't live for God. You see, he said in one place, if you're guilty of one part of the law, you're guilty of all of the law. You can't divide it out. But y'all want to separate it out and you want to start with the things that matter the least, rather than the things that matter the most. You don't understand what is the most important things in living for God. And then he says, blind guides, you strain at a gnat, you swallow a camel. Meaning that over the smallest sins or the smallest things you struggle with. You struggle with it. But over the big things, you swallow it. And you accept it. They said it this way before. It's an English term, penny wise and pound foolish. And doing what I do for a living, many times people, they'll go buy a $40,000, $50,000 automobile, you know, and think nothing about it and complain about the gas prices. You know, instead of buying a $10,000 automobile that gets 50 miles a gallon, you know, and they strain over these little things when the... You know what I'm talking about. And they somehow just cannot get it in there. They're so finite in their thinking, but yet they swallow all of this. And the same is true in living for God. So many times people, if we're not careful, that you'll get all against your brother and all that about a little bitty thing. And there you are. Can I preach tonight just a little while? I don't want to drive our visitors off. Y'all come back. It's time for you to figure out. Everybody has got to figure out what matters the most. Is it the gnat or the camel? Is it the gnat or the camel? And if it's the gnat, then take the gnat. But you can't ride a gnat. And in Jesus' day, a camel, rich people had camels. Everybody had gnats. Now, some have interpreted the scripture to mean you strain at a gnat to mean you strain, because they would strain their wine, they would strain it, and they would filter it, and they would filter it, trying to get all the larvae of the gnat and all that kind of stuff out, and maybe there's some validity to that. But I know one thing, I've swallowed a gnat before too. I could have ate a camel before I got that gnat down. You can't seem to swallow it. You strain at it. But I could have cooked the camel and cut him up and ate him. And so we need to find out what's more important. Is it the gnat or the camel to you? Because it's important to figure out tonight what's the most important things in your life to you and living for God. The tangible things the Pharisees were good at counting and they're good at weighing them out. But the intangible things that he spoke of were spiritual things and they had no concept of it. But we need to understand that the Bible says, he that is faithful in that which is least is also faithful in that which is much. But he started out by doing what was much, and he became faithful in that which was least. So I've said many times to my wife when I would hire somebody to work at the office, I was tempted many times to take a piece of paper. You might do this if you're an employer, and just if you, next time you hire somebody, take a piece of paper, and when they're coming in for their interview, you wad it up and you put it out there where they walk. If they pick that paper up, you're probably hired. But if you pass over it and don't even act like you didn't see it, you're probably not going to be a good employee, because I'm interested in that one that's faithful and that which is least. Because I know if you're faithful to pick that up, I know you'll be there on time. I know you won't take too long lunch breaks. I know that you'll be faithful to me as your employer, right? Okay. So tonight I want you to figure out what matters the most. And the best way I can help you figure that out, let's all take a voyage, okay? Let's all, you get in your boat and I'll get in my boat. We'll get in a ship, but not together. You take all your possessions with you and I'll take all my possessions with me. And let's all take everything that matters at all, anything to you. It may be an old tennis racket that you had when you was in high school that you're still holding on to for some unknown reason. You'd be surprised what people are still holding on to way back when, that's in their closet they're never going to use again. But it means something to them. It matters or they wouldn't have it. And put everything that you've got and get in your boat. And when you get out there on the ocean and there's no land in sight, and you find out now that your ship is sinking, are you with me tonight? Are you in your boat? Are you out there? Okay, your ship is beginning to sink. And you have all the things that you love are in your boat. The first thing you'd probably do is say, where's a bucket, right? Let me see if I can bail the water out, because I don't want to lose anything I got. That's the first thinking, is I don't want to lose anything I got. So you're bailing and you're bailing, but while you're bailing, the water is still coming up. And you realize that this is useless. The ship is going down, and I need to somehow, as they say, lighten the ship, as they did in Jonah's day. You remember, they tried to row and couldn't combat it, so they said, let's get rid of some cargo. So they lightened the ship till finally they realized it was Jonah they needed to get rid of. So they lightened the ship by throwing Jonah over, and the seas became calm unto them. And so you finally realize that you need to start lightening your ship. So you start casting things out of your boat. I want to know, you can talk to yourself, what would you cast out first? Well, I can answer that for you. The things that matter the least. The things that matter the least. And here's the truth. You might want to write this down. Write it down here. But you probably wouldn't discard anything until you felt like everything was threatened. You wouldn't cast out anything until you felt like everything was threatened. Then you start prioritizing things. See, you have some priorities because you're here tonight. There's other things you could have done. You could have went other places, done other things, slept in, whatever. But you chose tonight to come here because top on your priority list was to come to church tonight. And the Lord likes that. He understands that. And so here you are lightening your ship and you start throwing things back into the sea that's coming into your ship. Yeah. You see, you're throwing it into the thing that's coming in. And sometimes, let me say it this way, you have to give people what they want so they'll leave you alone. You ever say, here, just leave me alone now. Take it, leave me alone now. Because you don't want your boat sinking anymore. Jonah was sinking the ship. And I've said many times, whenever you take Jonah into your boat, you get everything that goes along with Jonah. Everything that goes along, Jonah, I've told people 1,000 times, when you get married, you get the mother-in-law too, and the father-in-law too. You get everything that you get attached to. Like it or don't like it, that's the way it is. And sooner or later, you realize that you've thrown out a few things, but things are still going down. And it's sometimes you have to tell people, leave me alone because you're bringing me down. There, sometimes you have to do this. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, but I got the gift of goodbye. Jesus said there was a lot of gifts that he passed out. One of them you need to get from me is the gift of goodbye. If people are bringing you down, delete them. Because they just bring you down. I don't have time to be brought down by other people who don't want to live for God. And so finally you realize that you're still going down. But the ship continues to go down. You continue to lighten it until all that's left is you and the things you really love. Yeah. And you realize that before I cast out them, I will cast myself out. So you didn't think I was going there, did you? See, because we find out what we really love when everything is cast out but you and what you really love. You've thrown out all the silver, all the gold, and all the pictures and everything that many think to you. The exercise bike was the first thing to go out because you didn't want that anyway. And so, and no one would jump out of their own ship. Everybody wants to save their lives unless they love the ones with them more than they love themselves. And so when you finally get down to what you really love, what would you leave in the ship when you jump out? Or would you be the last thing to go? I would jump out. I would leave my wife in, my children in, and I hope my neighbor in. Love your neighbor. That's what it says. I'm sorry, I'm just preaching what the book says as yourself. I would hope that, Lord, I'm ready to meet you, and I'm not sure about my neighbor. That's between you and him, but I... You know, and you leave what you love in the boat to be saved. And we find out what really matters the most in our lives. What would you give up in your spiritual ship so that the turmoil that you find yourself in today would go away? Who is it? What is it? For some people, it may be a job. For other people, it may be some relationship you have. What is it that, though you may like it, if it's causing turmoil where you can't live for God, do you love that more? See, this is getting tight now. You might need some wiggle room. Do you love that more than living for God? Because when the ship sinks, honey, all is lost. You see, would you give up peace and joy, contentment, love, mercy, faith? See, the problem is, my brothers and sisters, you can't separate love, joy, peace. These other guys were good at weighing things out and separating them. But Jesus said, the things I'm concerned about cannot be separated. Are you with me tonight? So when we look at, like, say, for example, the three words, love, law, and peace. I'll read you one scripture. Psalms 119 and 165 says, great peace have them that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You can't leave one word out of that. Right there you have peace, you have love, you have the law. You have these things. You cannot separate these things. You can't read this and say, great peace have them that... What? You can't even read it. It's great peace have them that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You can't separate the things of God and say, well, I'll take this. It's not buffet. Piccadilly went away too. You know? You can't pick and choose what you want. It's not a buffet line. You either get it or you don't get it. And the fruit, now listen close. It's called the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. If it's fruits of the Spirit, I'll take the pineapple and the cantaloupe. I really don't like cherries. Keep that. It's called the fruit. I'm sorry, if you want the fruit of the Spirit, is nine fruit. They're all come off the same tree, right? Love, joy, peace, and we can go through them. Long suffering, contentment, all these things, you can't separate it out. But the flesh is called the works of the flesh. and not the work of the flesh. Because it is separated out. You can be a murderer, you see, but not an adulterer. But Jesus looked at his disciples, you say you love me, keep my law. Keep my commandments. Because you're just saying it. You got to do it. You can't do one and not have the other. You can't have one and not have the other. Are you with me tonight? Thank the Lord. Thanks, somebody is. You can't have portions of God and not have all of God. So well, I got some of the Holy Ghost. No, you either got the Holy Ghost. You don't have the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm partially saved. Well, you either, he said it's right or left, heaven or hell. There's no in between in this thing. So back to the strain at a gnat. Yeah, G-N-A-T. And swallow the camel. The smallest things and the things that seem to be so useless, some people pay so great attention to. Did you see her today? Did you see him? I can't. And they get off on these things and never look in the mirror. Some people will say they're godly and they live ungodly. I can't tell you how many people say, I'm a Christian, but you look at how they live. You never prove it by the way they live, but they say they are. This scripture goes along with another scripture I'd like to read in Mark 1 and 7, or Matthew 1 and 7. He said, judge not. Like I said, Jesus is to the point. Two words says it all. I wouldn't want to show of hands because I'm afraid you wouldn't tell the truth. How many of y'all judge somebody today? I have to be careful. I'm not the judge. We all tend to want to be the judge. Judge not that ye be not judged. Now that doesn't mean, well, if I don't judge Artie Petrie, then he won't judge me. I can not judge him, him still judge me. But what it's saying is, where much is given, much is required. What he's saying is, if you want to be forgiven, forgive others. If you don't want to be judged by him, don't judge everybody else. Because what a person meets out is met back to them, right? So do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It changes things a lot. Judge not that you be not judged, for with that judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Could I pause right here tonight and tell you that do you remember the parable that Jesus gave of the two men that owed money? One owed like 500 talents to his Lord. And he went to his Lord, the Lord called him in, he said, you know, pay me what thou owest. You know, time's up. And he said, Lord, I don't have anything to pay you with. He said, but please be patient with me. Now, when you read that, it doesn't even say he said, just forgive me. He didn't even ask for forgiveness. He said, be patient with me. And the Bible says that moved that Lord with compassion. And he rightly forgave him of all of his debt. But the same man goes outside and he finds another man owed him 50 pence and he chokes him. You bum, you. You no good. Pay me back what you owe me. And the man said the same thing the other man did. Sir, I have nothing to pay thee, but be patient with me. And he would not. So what happened? The Lord heard how he treated that man. He said, bring him back in. And he brought back up. Well, I thought once you was forgiven, you was forgiven. If you forgive others, you're forgiven. But he brought back up everything that he owed. He said, now throw him into the prison until he pay every mite at the hands of the tormentors. And so if you don't want to be judged, don't judge other people. Now, I understand a fruit, what kind, you know, that's an apple, that's a pear, that I need to stay away from this person, that's a bad person. They're a liar, you know, they're a cheater. I understand that. But you cannot judge somebody eternally. You do not have that ability, power. God did not give it to you. I cannot tell you whether you're lost or saved. I can't shake your hand and say you're saved. I can't tell you you're lost. All I know is this, sin can't enter there. That's what I know. Now, back to my reading here. And why beholdest thou the mote? See, this goes along with the gnat and the camel. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? A mote was like a small splinter that, you know, gets in your eye. A beam is like a tree. Just imagine a toothpick, okay? It's big, and it's like, he said, how in the world can you tell somebody else, hey, you need to clean your act up over there. You need to start living right. And look at you! Thou hypocrite, he said, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. What matters the most is that you not judge somebody else. That's what he's teaching. What matters the most is that you clean your act up. And when, you know what? I don't have to worry about anybody judging me if you worry about yourself. Because you'll be so busy cleaning your life up, you won't have time to see clearly to clean somebody else's life up. The last time I checked my Bible, the Bible says that the devil was the accuser of the brethren. So I can find the devil real easy. Just look at the accusers. When Jesus went to the garden to pray, I don't mean this in a bad way, but he was a sinking ship, a dying man, knowing where he was headed. He had thrown out everything you could throw out. He was in poverty. He didn't have anything. There was nothing left to throw out. So he goes to the garden and he prays. The only thing left is him and the cup. It's him and the cup. And he said, it's a sinking ship. Father, if it be possible, let the cup go out of the boat so I can float. What'd you say? I didn't hear you. He didn't hear anything because he knew the answer. Many times people want to consult with me. They know the answer. And so he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He got out of the ship so the cup could be saved. No greater love hath any man than he get out of the ship so his friends can be saved. Or you understand what I'm saying? And he drank the cup, if you will, that you and I might live. He loved us enough to let us as sinners saved by grace float. He gave up his life that you might have your life. Because he loved you more than he loved himself. He loved not himself, but unto death. Whew. In the garden is the same thing you and I fight. It's the battle of the will. It's the battle of the will. Adam sinned, Eve sinned. It was a battle of what they wanted to do against what God told them. It's a battle of the will. And I want to tell you something. I don't have time tonight. Time doesn't permit. But if we could talk a little bit about the old tabernacle plan. Do you remember that? The outer court and the inner court. You know what the outer court was? It was a struggle for your will to die. The outer court was the death of that animal on an altar that we now call repentance. And the baptism, the cleaning up, if you will, after the death. That was the sacrifice of your will in the outer court, because behind the curtain was the will of God. And the only way you could get in the will of God was say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. The only way to get back there was through repentance and remission of sins. What matters the most to you tonight. I close with this as they come. I wished I had time to grab a little corn seed because I would have brought it. But just imagine tonight that I have a little corn seed in my hand. And I'd ask you, what would you do with it? What would you, if I had one corn seed and I handed it to each one of you and say, what would you do with it? The answer depends on where you are in life. Because you have three choices. Eat it, plant it, or store it. And it depends on what matters most to you as where you are in life. There's an old song we sing sometimes called Amazing Grace. And it talks about, at last my trophies I lay down. And when I was young, there was things that meant more to me than they do now. What mattered most back then is not the same things that matter the most today. So it's where you are in life. If you was a real hungry man, you might say, let me have it. I got to have it. And you'd swallow it and it'd be gone. It wouldn't do it. It's gone. But if I took out that one seed and I said, you know, if you plant that seed, it's going to bring harvest. And as kids, we used to do the math in school from one corn seed, how much years it would take to feed the whole world. It's not as long as you think from one seed. But you know, you could store it if you wanted to. But what one seed going to do you any good? Why not plant it? That one seed, you know what it represents? The Bible says that we go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, until it's everlasting to everlasting. Let me tell you, that corn you keep planting, it'll last forever. It's everlasting to everlasting. Till Jesus comes, it is. One seed, it'll just keep going. But here's the important part. That seed is glorious. And so if you take that seed, that one seed, it's the harvest of one time, but it's the embryo of the next time. So that it goes from glory to glory. And from faith to faith. If I plant the seed, I get the harvest. So what will you do with it? What will you do with it? Because inside of there is the energy to bring forth a lot of those. But if you consume it, you got it. That's it. I'm back to spreading the word, right? But you can't spread it if you don't have but one seed. But if I plant it, then I have a lot of seed. And then you know what? I got plenty to eat. I say, I invite y'all over for dinner. And if we keep planting, you can invite somebody to dinner. And you know what? Churches get full with people planting seeds. Just going from glory to glory and from seed to harvest to the next harvest and to the next harvest until finally you have done the will of God. Too many people eat their harvest and they never really mature their seed. And every seed is next year's harvest. And I ask you to stand tonight. What matters the most in your life? Nobody knows what matters the most in your life but you. And it's time you figure out what it is that's sinking your ship. Only a fool would keep bailing while they're drowning and hold on to their stuff. You hear me? I ain't gonna lose my stuff. I ain't losing that. Yeah, you died with your stuff. Why would you die? A man could exchange the whole world. What would he give for in exchange for his soul? He told that one man, thou fool, this night your soul is required of you. Then whose stuff will that be? Oh, God. Why don't you come to the front tonight? It will just take a few minutes. I just feel like maybe somebody tonight, I've reached somebody that would be willing to say, Lord, I have got to figure out what's sinking my ship. Let me tell you something. People that rob your peace is sinking your ship. People that takes your joy is sinking your ship. Figure out what's sinking your ship and let it go. Let it go. Hallelujah. As they sing tonight, I wish you would just quickly, you know, it don't take all night, it don't take years. Reprioritize your life tonight and figure out what means the most to you. And there's nothing more important than your soul.